Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We have the phenom, Sean Anderson, in for Chris Tannehill. So take it away, Sean.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkin.
Afternoons on the Score.
Tom Thayer joins us. Will you teach me how to surf?
I'd love to. Okay. Like I said, it'd change your life. I'll take you up to Sheboygan.
I'd rather do Maui.
Wow. I don't ever want to leave. This has just been so fantastic. What was your name again?
Oh, hi, Mark.
I mean, I learned a lot there about you. You're a good swimmer. Wouldn't have put that out there.
I'm a great swimmer.
Really?
Yeah, really good.
Stanley's not a very good swimmer. I mean, he can't even snorkel.
Like, could do the crawl, could do the elementary back. What level of skill are we talking about?
I don't believe that at all, by the way.
I'm trying to figure it out here, Shane.
Now, I will say, cardiovascularly, I'm not in my best position to do, like, long-distance swimming. But a race there and back in a pool, I think I'm the one seed on the Score staff.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
No, absolutely not. I swam my freshman year of high school. You have no chance.
Okay.
You got a big bathtub? You a big bathtub guy?
I like baths. Yeah. Normal size. You want to come over? Get in the bathtub?
Not the bath.
I'm still uncertain if you can actually do the crawl. You can put your head in the water, take it out, breathe back in. No problem, really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Put your head in the water.
I mean, I can't do that. I'm just putting.
I got the butterfly. I got the breaststroke. I got the backstroke. I got freestyle. Come on now.
What's your name again?
Chrissy.
Where are we going?
Swimming.
I can swim. Just can't walk or dress myself.
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the Danny Parkin Show, where, yeah, I can swim. I know, it's really, really hard to believe. And, Carm, it's been such a great day. My wife loves birthdays so much. You know my lovely wife, Stephanie. You know her.
I do, and she started alerting me about your birthday 3 weeks ago. So
yeah, when she found out that you were going to be in. She doesn't want anybody to forget my birthday. She loves birthday. She loves my birthday more than I love my birthday. And she's been spoiling me all day. It's been lovely. I've heard from my siblings and my parents, and you know, I woke up and she made a smoothie for me instead of the other way around. She's trying to become the smoothie queen of Chicago because I'm the king of Chicago for smoothies, obviously. It's been a lovely day. We've got a great show planned. There's going to be some surprises. We've got a big dinner planned tonight. There's some presents to get to. She made me an apple pie. I'm getting spoiled. First text that comes in during the open to the show. Just got into my car and almost vomited hearing Numbnuts Parkins' voice. That'll just bring me right back down to earth. Like that very much. Thank you, sir or ma'am.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, texters, for if my head ever gets too big, deflating it and humbling me back down to size. But, yeah, man, happy to be sharing it. with you and hanging out. And I want to say congratulations to you for impacting the World Series and getting that slob Clayton Kershaw to clean up his act last night. Congratulations on your tremendous accomplishment.
You're welcome, Danny, and really to everyone who, I mean, it was amazing how many people were against me bringing to light that that hat that he's wearing is just straight nasty and needed to be washed and was a bad role model to so many young baseball sports fans all over the country. And yesterday, we looked into the dugout, game two, and he's got a fresh, beautiful, pristine Dodgers hat. And it's clear that he was listening to the Danny Parkin show yesterday and and made a change in his life. So it's a win.
Yeah, and I am still convinced that you're the only person who noticed, and you're certainly the only person who cares. And it's just a remarkable thing for you to be pointing out and caring about.
I don't want to bring facts into the equation here, Parko, but there is a huge Reddit chain out there about Kershaw's hat. People are I'm not the only person.
They're talking about it on Reddit, then I stand corrected.
I mean, people are speculating why the hat is so dirty. Is it pine tar? Is it something else? And now there's celebrations going around that Clayton's made a move in his life that's going to benefit him tenfold, and he's going to be better for his family and better for his teammates.
Did they not talk about it, Danny, at the Antifa meeting you were at last night?
I missed it. I missed it at the meeting. I'm a card-carrying member, obviously. The facts only. Thank you, Shane Reeder. That'll be good for my Twitter mentions, by the way. Thank you.
Did you say that Parko isn't part of Antifa?
That is fake news. Doesn't even matter. Just say it. Just say it, and it's all of a sudden true on the internet. But yeah, that is a okay. There we go. So you were happy with the hat. Did anything else offend your delicate sensibilities last night during the World Series game?
Well, of course. I mean, listen. It was a great. I enjoyed my baseball last night for one. It was a solid game too. But then we had the terrible moment where we get a bomb to left from Will Smith, and a fan makes an incredible catch, but not an incredible catch because he's 53 years old, and he's got his glove out there. And here's old guy sitting in the stands, and that's a catch that you make with your bare hands, but he's got his mitt. Apparently, he's been wearing it the whole game. Then he catches it. He's celebrating like he did something as he's falling back. And then he's thinking about what to do with the baseball, and he throws his glove on the field, which at that point you've lost your glove for life. That is a confiscated glove. Randy Arozarena should be taking that. Sir, we don't allow you to throw gloves at us. I know it's an accident, but sorry. And yet, you know, Arozarena, nice guy, gives it back to him. He keeps the baseball, and he's all over the internet for making this catch, and he broke all baseball fandom. You don't get to wear a glove in the stands when you turn, 11 years old.
11.
Yeah.
11 is the cutoff?
Well, okay, 13. I was 13.
So if you're a 12-year-old kid, you can't bring a glove to a baseball game?
No, okay, 13, Parko. High school. I'll go to high school. How's that?
Way to be firm in your argument. You go from 11 years old to 15 instantly with one degree of pushback. I enjoy it.
I'm willing to concede small moments in time to you, yes.
Okay. All right, so high school age and on, you can't wear a glove at a stadium.
Right.
All right, that's just, again, I didn't know that this was a big thing in the Carmen household. You have these strange hills that you're willing to die on. Would I bring a glove to a game as an adult? No, but I also got to be honest with you. I'm probably not really trying to catch the ball with my bare hands. That sounds fairly painful. I'll just get out of the way and get it off the ricochet and pick it up off the ground. Or if I don't get it, it's okay. It's a baseball.
Have you ever gotten a baseball at a baseball game in a real way and not having...
No.
Never happened. Right.
I've gotten it off the ground, and I've had it thrown to me from a player, but I've never caught a baseball
at
a game.
But off the bat, in the middle of the game, never.
Never, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, I hope that happens to you in year 34. Yes, it's happened to me. I was Dodger Stadium, sitting behind home plate, Zambrano at the plate, bunts, terrible bunt. Easy, the simplest catch of all time, just lofts over the net right to me, bang. But I've
caught a foul ball bunt.
I caught a foul ball bunt.
that's not catching a foul ball.
That 100% counts.
No, 100%.
I mean,
It's harder to catch a ball if the guy's throwing it to you than if he's bunting it to you.
No, that's ridiculous. No, there is a huge amount of luck going on there where you're sitting. It happened. I've had it happen in other games where I was like moving seats, sneaking down, moving around, sat down, bang, here comes the ball. Like I've caught like three, and that was the easiest one, Parco. Now I'm not saying I'm elite foul ball catcher, but the ones that I have gotten have been
caught bare hands.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe hit off my hand, then into the seat, and then pick it up. But that counts. That is a
that counts. If it's off the bat and you don't have a glove, it counts.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know.
You hang
I
in there.
I didn't know. Hang in there. I'm just happy that Clayton Kershaw was happy because he was secretly rooting for them to lose that game last night so he can get a game 5 in the World Series, so he can get back out there on the mound to continue to eradicate his demons of postseason failures of the past.
Which is a very interesting thing about yesterday's show, Parco, because everybody, I think, was just discounting the fact that, the Rays are done. It's going to be a sweep. Like, there was no credit to the Rays yesterday on the show. Like, that should have been – are you kidding? Of course there's going to be a Game 5.
Well, there wasn't a lot of credit being given anywhere, either direction. We were just talking about what Kershaw was rooting for. But, yeah, I always assumed that there wouldn't be a sweep. The Rays are a very talented ball club, so I'm glad because it's going to extend even further, and the more sports we get, the better, and it's been a great accomplishment for baseball to pull this off. So I'm all for as many of these games as is humanly possible to play. And I will say, I don't know if anyone saw this, but the ratings came out, and I don't think any fan should really care about ratings, but people in our industry make a lot of bad faith arguments. There were only like 9 million something people who watched the first game of the World Series. It was the lowest rated World Series game in like the modern broadcast era since it had, you know, been on Fox. And it's almost as if ratings are down across the board because people's viewing habits have changed because there's a pandemic. And so when you have bad faith actors like Clay Travis being like, the NBA's ratings are down because they wrote Black Lives Matter on the court, maybe, just maybe, if you see NFL ratings down, baseball ratings down, basketball ratings down, people aren't watching sports in the same way anymore, and they're all cannibalizing each other because everybody's home during a pandemic. Seems fairly straightforward to me. So I just thought that that was worth mentioning, given that America's pastime, the ratings for that are down as well. But of course, they would be up if adults wouldn't be wearing gloves at the stadiums and there would be clean hats all over the place.
It could also be just because there are 7 total Rays fans.
That's possible. So Dick Vitale is one.
We heard from Cody Decker this morning. Jen Sturger, his wife, is a diehard Rays fan. He just found out this year, I guess. So there's 2.
So she must be passionate about it. Okay.
Terry Bors, Shep just said in the Q speaker.
Terry Bors. Joe Maddon, his wife, maybe?
The rest is just up for grabs, honestly.
So 3 that we know of, and then we're assuming 4 more. Okay. Yeah, that could contribute. Shep, I feel like you want to weigh in on all of this, and you're mostly appalled by what you're hearing.
Well, in terms of the bringing your mitt to a game, I used to be fully on board with this of like, you're a grown-up, don't ever bring a mitt to a game. But then I went to Miller Park, which we found out last week has a retractable roof, and that means that it can have a roof on it or it can be open. That was great research this show did last week. And watching
yeah,
batting practice, they're playing the Astros, and I was, I don't know, 15 at the time or whatever, and Jeff Bagwell hits a liner into the stands in right field during BP, and this probably 65-70-year-old man sticks his hand out with a mitt on it, and this ball would have killed his wife had it struck her. She would have been dead on the spot. He catches it, pretty much saves her life, and I said at that moment, I'm like, I will never make fun of anyone for bringing a glove to a game ever again, because that is fine. You're protecting yourself. Great.
Can I do addendum to the rule of the mitt in the game? If you're actually willing to get to the park 2 hours early to partake in batting practice, then it is free game. But sitting there once everybody enters with your mitt in the seat, then that's unacceptable. I think if you're actually willing to make the effort for BP, that's a little bit different, although weird.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that you can only use it for BP then. Once there's other people in the stadium, you have to put the glove under your seat.
It's very confusing. It's Isaac Albright just tweeted me on Twitter. I don't know this person, but I just decided to read his name. It was in his Twitter handle. And he goes, is this guy you're working with serious? I never know. That's why I love Carm. Like, I think so, but sometimes yes, sometimes no. He doesn't really take anything too seriously, but then he takes the dumbest things deathly seriously. He's a real enigma, this smart Carm.
Listen, I've been going. One of the things that I'm prideful about is I've been fortunate to be going to sporting events my whole life, and there is a decorum to going to a sporting event. And as an adult with the mitt, it's just, how are you going to pass down the beer? How are you passing down the hot dog if you're sitting there with a mitt on your head? Like, you got your phone in one hand, you got the mitt.
How many hands does it take you to pass a hot dog down the aisle?
It's just, it's weird. And it's not like my most angry thing. Like the person who just decides to get up in the middle of an inning, in the middle of a pitch, and has to go to the bathroom, that guy or woman should never be allowed back in the stadium. Hey, we're all here watching the game. Can you wait for a moment when something's not happening? Way bigger offense.
That's common courtesy. I'm with you on that one.
Right.
I am with you on that.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, if you're standing, there's a reason why in basketball, can we wait for a foul, for anything before you start walking in the middle of the row? I don't care if the Bulls haven't won a game in 3 months. Still, let's have a little sports integrity here, a fandom.
Do you yell down in front? Because I do. I like a good down in front.
It depends how long it goes. If it lasts, then I will step
Not
it.
For me. I'll just do it like and then I'll turn around. Like, oh, who said that? It's a good one.
I prefer sit down, jackass.
Yeah, but I'm not scary and intimidating like you. So, you know, you got to be a little, you know, I'm not really looking to get into any sort of confrontation.
You're a swimmer, not a fighter.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Sean. Yeah, but if I was with a bunch of really strong people.
Like in the water.
Yeah. Well, in the water, I would say it, and then I would just swim away really fast because no one would be able to catch me.
It is true. If Shane said sit down, that person is immediately sitting down before they get to their seat.
Yeah, even if they have to go to the bathroom. They then no longer need to go to the bathroom, and they're just going to hold it until the game is over. Mark Carman covers the White Sox. He does White Sox post-game. He has actual, you know, sources, kind of, within the White Sox, as much as someone like Mark Carman could have sources. And he is going to make, I think, the case for Tony La Russa. I'm pretending like it's not even happening, so I'm probably just going to take the next segment off. But Carm is going to make the case for Tony La Russa, Paul Charchin at 3 o'clock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Score. We know they can't talk to A.J. Hinch until after the World Series. Have they talked to La Russa yet?
From my understanding, yes, they have. And they, meaning Rick Hahn and likely Kenny Williams. Rick Hahn, you know, the general manager. Kenny Williams, the executive vice president. So from what I'm told, they have. And, you know, the interest seems to be there on both sides.
That's Chris Levine on Tony La Russa interviewing with the White Sox. Paul Charchian's going to join us at 3 o'clock. There are going to be some surprises that I don't know about at various points throughout the show. Or Shane might just cancel
again,
all of
them. Why do you think that? Like, that's the second time. You said a tweet about it. You said that we'd have surprises for you. Why do you think that?
Because you weren't on the pre-show call, and I was told that.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe they were lying to you.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Ben Heisler, how you doing?
Parco, happy birthday, buddy. How you doing?
I just don't like Shane Reardon. Like, why hasn't Shane left the Score yet, or at least this show? He's just the absolute worst. What's up, Heisler?
Happy birthday, buddy. Big, big year for you. I wanted to call, say hello, say hi to Carm, and I just wanted to say happy birthday. I know that this has been a lot, and I just wanted to say hello and say what's up.
What's up, buddy? Yeah, it has been a lot. This is Ben Heisler, who is actually related to Mark Carmen, and I've known Heisler since, like, fourth grade. And he does gambling and fantasy over at Sports Illustrated. He was my executive producer in Kansas City. He comes on You Better You Bet with us every Sunday. So for anyone who doesn't know what he is, he's a Chicago guy, and he's good people. But, yeah, man, just hanging out with Carm, you know, listening to his awful sports takes, this time for money instead of just in my personal time. So, you know, pretty standard.
I'm assuming that at some point here we're going to get to the fact how I basically made both of your lives incredibly better. Ben was brought to Kansas City by Danny. Danny's show just launched because of Ben, and it was all brought together by Carm. I don't know if I've ever been fully just given my appreciation on this, so you guys can talk about that if you'd like.
I guess
we can absolutely do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's not entirely wrong about that, Heis. He did say, you know, you should. What about Carm? What about Heisler? And I'm like, yeah, I know Heisler. Yeah, is he willing to move? But Carm, what I always say is, if he didn't move to Kansas City, he never even meets his current wife, who's now the mother of his child. So, like, I feel like I made Heisler's life.
Right, and the first part is Carm. So now we get the fact that Heis is married happily with a child and all that. Straight back to me, really.
So you're welcome, Heis, is basically what we're saying.
There is somewhere in the deep part of our wedding video a moment where both Danny, Carm, and Carrington Harrison all find their way after a couple drinks at cocktail hour to tell this exact story, but even in further greater detail about how they are actually responsible for me meeting my wife. It wasn't any part of the setup. It wasn't any part of anything else. No, it was the fact that I came to Kansas City clearly because of them, and now my life is substantially better. But as far as Danny goes, guys, like there's three things that I've learned from Danny during the course of our friendship and our radio career together.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably several, but the three that stand out is you got to learn how to live your life on the radio, learn some of those lessons the hard way. There's some advice, Danny, that you always reference that your dad told you, and I'm sure I'm screwing up the expression, which is pretty much act like you're supposed to be there. Act like this is somewhere that you've always been for a long time.
Act like you own the place.
Don't back down. Act like you own the place. They already screwed it up. And then the third is don't back down from a challenge. And so if I can, there's a great story about the time that our show ended up going down to Arizona for the Super Bowl that I think kind of encompasses all three. We end up getting invited to a Super Bowl party that we clearly are not supposed to be at. It's hosted by Joe Hayden and Odell Beckham Jr. And through one reason or another, while we're at Radio Row, we somehow find a way to finagle an invitation to this party. Again, act like you own the place. So we get there when the party starts, which clearly was an indication that we shouldn't have been there and shouldn't have been invited. Party starts at 9. We get there at 9. We call the guy that's supposed to be our connection. He doesn't pick up his phone. We text him, doesn't answer. We're now left trying to figure out what to do. Somehow Danny, through a connection of Jeff Schwartz, shows up at the party. We get in and we're having ourselves a good time. Several hours later, Danny and I have had a couple of drinks and we're on our way out, and he bumps into Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp is smoking a cigar, albeit a very expensive cigar at that. And Danny, naturally, as he is, has some questions. We ask him about the cigar. Warren Sapp says, no, this is a $500 cigar. To which Danny says directly to the man's face, that's not a $500 cigar. We had to break up Danny and Warren Sapp at 1:30 in the morning on the top of a rooftop bar at a Super Bowl party we weren't supposed to be at. But then again, kind of makes sense being Parkin. So happy birthday, buddy. I wanted to tell that story. You'll get the listeners a sense of what you were like back in the day and how things really haven't changed that much.
Thank you. That's Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated Gambling and Fantasy. Follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis. Yeah, Carm, that is a true story.
That's awesome.
And here's the thing. Later on, we found out that Warren Sapp got arrested at that Super Bowl that night for soliciting a prostitute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it was an aggressive night of me just claiming there's no such thing as a $500 cigar. That's not a $500 cigar. And Warren Sapp, like, who the F are you? And so that's what happened. Okay. Well, that is really moral of the story is if Joe Hayden's going to give you access to a free bottle of vodka, don't let me mouth off to Warren Sapp. I think that's the lesson of the story. Paul charging at three. I'm being told to break. Eventually, Mark Carmen will make the case why we shouldn't be also outraged at Tony La Russa coming up on the score.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, happy birthday to you. That's a sausage for you.
Even without Tanny, we'll get some Sopranos in on the show. Thank you to Ben Heisler for calling in. That story, I've told some of it before from that Super Bowl party. It was, there's a lot more there. It was ridiculous, but, you know, maybe another time. Gary Sheffield was with Warren Sapp at that point. James Winston was involved at one point. It was aggressive. But what's up, Carmen?
I'm just wondering how drunk we're talking when that question came out, or was it just moderate buzz and I'm going to challenge
you? Six cocktails probably. Over the course of a couple of hours.
And 7 out of 10?
Yeah, 6. Okay. 7.
A lot of people, Danny, have probably seen you drunk over the years. How about your childhood friend, Ben Kaplan?
Oh, my God.
Ben, you there?
I'm
here. What's up, Cap?
Big dog, happy birthday.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Looks like my video is connecting. Sorry, you're going to have to look at me, too.
Oh, man. I don't know why. What's going on, man? How are you? Hello.
Good.
This is one of my oldest friends in the world, third grade, calling in on my birthday. You guys are really getting the A-listers today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I was asked to call in because I'm one of your oldest friends or one of your only friends, but either way, it's an honor. It's an honor. I appreciate it. So I guess I need to tell a story about you from way back when. So the story I went to was your biggest athletic achievement, and I'm sure Danny tells this story on the air about weekly, but it was his game-winning suicide squeeze in the fourth grade Glencoe World Series. people may not know this, but Danny wears contacts. His vision is absolutely horrific. He and I both got glasses at the same time in fourth grade. So we were both in line right after each other at the vision test, and we came out of there thinking it was rigged because we both were told that we had terrible eyesight. I don't know who would have rigged it, but anyway, he has terrible eyesight, and this plays a role in Danny's major sports triumph. So to tell the story, it was a thrilling play. I think there were two outs. He was up at the plate. The winning run was on third base. He dropped down a suicide squeeze bunt. The run comes in. Danny throws his arms up in the air triumphantly, falls to the ground. The team dog piles on him. It was awesome. But I've always wondered why the coach called up the suicide squeeze, because Danny was like the type of kid where you hear the hey, walk's as good as a run, walk's as good as a hit, walk's as good as a hit, just to discourage the kid from swinging. But I realized, like, if he can't see, then maybe there's no chance of him getting a walk. So I guess the best bet is just to like stick your bat out there and hope for the best and hope that maybe you make a little contact. And sure enough, it happened. And to this day, that is the highlight.
That was my peak. That was absolutely my peak. That is so horrifying and embarrassing, but also true. Yeah, because I was the guy that I basically just didn't swing because no one could throw from catcher down to second base. So if it was more likely that they were going to throw four balls before three strikes. So then you get on first base, there'd be a pass ball, you steal second, then there'd be a pass ball, you steal third. And occasionally I would contribute by scoring a run. But yeah, then in that time, there was no way to just hope for a walk. So I took a bunt and we won the World Series.
If I may here, just want to underline something. This is one of the problems with Little League coaches who are out there doing a great job, but you should be encouraging the kid who can't do anything to actually swing the bat so he'll try to get even just a 0.1% better rather than trying to win the meaningless Little League ball game. It's about the kid, not about winning. I'm bothered by that. You guys can go back. Please continue.
Yeah.
I think if Danny got 0.1% better, that wouldn't have created the memories that game-winning bump did. So.
Yeah, well, listen, Cap, thank you very much. Ben first came on to my college radio show as Mike Tyson and Borat back when no one else would call in. Are you excited for Borat too, buddy?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited you brought up that memory of waking up at like 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning in college and horrifying my roommates as I did a Mike Tyson and Borat impression over the phone.
Yeah. Do you have either of them available for the audience today?
You know what? Those aren't in my bag anymore, but I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, there you go. There's Ben Kaplan, one of my oldest friends in the world. Very much appreciate him calling in. Thank you, sir. Yeah, Carm, you're right about Little League coaches, man. It was every game, it was second base. I'm out in second base. I'm in right field. I'm batting 11th out of ninth. It was very dispiriting.
Right, right. And that's not the point. Listen, I'm not saying you should have been batting leadoff and playing shortstop, but at least when you get up to the plate, swing the bat, try to hit the baseball. And I not to, you know, be boastful Carm over here, but I was probably a little bit better of a Little League player than you, but I would bat second in Pony League because the leadoff guy would get on and they'd be like, oh, Carm's a good bunter, so just get the bunt down, which was, it's a skill that I guess you need, but I would rather have been swinging away and it's seventh grade than bunting. Not that I think about this three times a day.
Okay, so the show is basically just going to be you guys calling people from my personal life to roast me and tell embarrassing stories. Is that the gist of what we have coming up here, Shep? Okay, there we go. That's
ding,
great.
Ding, ding.
Ding, 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 he says. Well, Shane, this should be your favorite day ever at work, by the way.
No, I think this is like the one day that people should be nice to you. People. I am not going to be nice to you, but these people, right. These people should be calling and being nice to you.
Right. Other people allegedly should be nice, but if Shane was human, he would be nice, but he's not. Although Shane did deliver the food today, which was very kind. Why didn't you come up, by the way? You could have come up.
Well, you got a lot of things going on. I didn't want to throw another wrench into the fire.
Wrenches into fires.
Well, I don't want to be sniffing up that tree.
Yeah, okay. There we go, Tom Thayer. Thank you very much. Well, you know what the best part about that story was? Not only that it embarrassed me, but that it avoids you having to defend the idea of hiring Tony La Russa. That's nice. I enjoy that. My stance here is pretend like it doesn't exist, pretend like it's not real because it's not going to happen, so why waste my time? Can you cover the White Sox, you do post-game, you're not appalled? This doesn't offend your baseball sensibilities?
So, okay. First of all, I don't think that Tony ultimately will be the hire. I would still, if I had to bet, I would bet on A.J. Hinch. But putting La Russa in the mix for a second here, I don't understand why White Sox fans and you, Parco, are so offended by having a guy who spent 33 years as a manager, won 2,728 games, won three World Series, six league championships, three division titles. He's one of the greatest managers in the history of baseball. Now, I get that he has said some things that maybe he'll have to make right in the clubhouse and have.
Yeah, I mean, that's putting it lightly, but yeah.
Okay, but I think that's entirely possible. You sit
well,
down.
And by the way, baseball clubhouses are very conservative, so it's not like that. Like that, I get why those comments are offensive to your and my sensibilities, and it's probably some guys in that clubhouse. But to pretend like those comments are disqualifying for him to be a manager in 2020 is ludicrous. They're not.
Right. He's the winningest manager in the history of the Cardinals, one of the greatest organizations in the game. That's not even remotely debatable. He has an
no one's talking about his credentials.
So,
man.
So then what's the problem? So what's
it's 2020?
Yeah. What does that mean?
What do you mean? What does it mean? This is a young team with personality that is going to be analytically driven and trying to be taking baseball into the 21st century. And you're talking about a guy whose accomplishments go back 5 decades. In the sport, the timeline just doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense.
Hold on. He was one of the first. He would hit the pitcher eighth. He's been very innovative with the bullpen. This is not a guy who lacks any creative thought. That's not been him. It's not like he's Earl Weaver sitting around for the 3-run homer. If you would prefer...
It's going to be A.J. Hinch. They're doing this as a favor for Jerry Reinsdorf. Oh, he's not going to be hired, so I don't have to pretend like he's going to be hired. But it's not going to happen.
But if he was, do you really think he doesn't know how to do the job? I mean, he's
It's not that he doesn't know how to do the job. It's that there are more qualified people to do the job, and Rick Hahn is not going to choose to hire Tony La Russa. He's going to choose to hire someone of his generation or his player's generation. He's not going to hire someone of my dad's generation. He's just not.
Well, I would agree that I think he's going to hire A.J. Hinch. But let's just have that argument for 1 second. And I'm okay with it. People get second chances in life. But it's like there's this huge outrage about old La Russa. A.J. Hinch cheated to win the World Series. And no one's saying anything about that. No one cares about the fact that he knew what was happening, did nothing. Now he was very contrite.
Well, hold on, he got punished for it.
Yeah, and then he apologized, which felt.
And then the punishment is over. And so when your punishment is over, you can work again.
Parco, he cheated to win the World Series. Does that bother you on any level? No, it doesn't. It's incredible. Right.
I don't like the Astros. I don't like that they cheated, but he's not the only one who cheated. Carlos Correa's still in baseball. Altuve's still in baseball. Springer's still in baseball. Keuchel's on the White Sox. They all cheated.
He's not the only one who cheated?
He's not.
You did it first. Now I can do it too? I mean,
Well, no, the other guys are still working in baseball, so he's not able to work in baseball?
I'm not saying he's not able to work in baseball, but does he want him to work for your team? Wouldn't you rather?
Sure. Dallas Keuchel's already working for your team. He benefited from that extra run support. And, oh, by the way, Tony La Russa was there with Canseco and McGuire and steroids.
I'm not saying that they don't have a right to go and work and whatever. Dallas Keuchel made the most sense, and sometimes you make decisions that benefit your baseball team. I get it.
Do you want Tony La Russa to be the manager?
Do I want to? If it was me?
If you were hiring it, would you pick Tony La Russa over A.J. Hinch?
Between those two, yes.
Get out of here. That is ridiculous.
Okay. Listen, I am fully confident that whoever walks into that dugout right now, after they add Trevor Bauer, whoever they're going to add this offseason with that amount of talent, they are going to be right there to win the World Series.
Well, we agree on that. You could manage the team, and they're going to be very good, and they're going to be very talented. We agree on that. The impact of a manager is minimal, positive or negative in any direction. But the fact that you would choose La Russa over Hinch, my friend, is just because you guys both get dinner reservations at 4 o'clock. That's the only reason.
But see, that's the reason why you don't like him, because he's too old. I mean,
that's a big part of it.
Can't think anymore. He's probably eating at 4:30.
It's not that he can't think anymore. It's just that you're the second winningest manager in the history of the sport. You don't need more wins.
How old was Jack McKeon when the?
Don't argue exceptions to the rule. Argue the rule.
Why not?
Why not? Because generally speaking, it's a better idea to argue about the vast majority of the guys who did it, not just the one.
Sure, but a lot of times the exceptions are brilliant exceptions that, like, you know, Dennis Rodman, let's call him an exception, like some guy who can't do anything out there except he's the best rebounder and defender or one of them of all time.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Dennis Rodman. 312-644-6767. Paul Ciarchian answers your fantasy questions next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.